Okay, good morning. Today here is Wednesday, December 23rd in Taiwan, post Saturn-Jupiter conjunction, and that's an important matter, a sign of the times. This will be obviously one of the last talks of the year 2020 for the YouTube channel, and I may or may not continue next week. We'll see. Today's talk will be shorter because we're starting a little late here. I want to talk on the year 2020 here at the end of the year, and the challenge and the response, the catalyst we're facing, and the work of returning to balance as much as we can. And I'm not going to work exclusively from pages of scripture, whatever that scripture may be, right? Nityananda or Gautama or Christian. But particularly, I do want to go back to the word eclipsis or tribulation. There's no way to fully encapsulate or speak to the enormity of what's happened to the world in the year 2020. I do believe we're in a new condition that won't go back to what was normal in 2019 and previously. Absolutely, what we're seeing is in line with the end times of the third density cycle. Absolutely, it's in line with the Christian eschatological presentation of Armageddon and Apocalypse. Armageddon as, a final reckoning, a final conflict, the final choice point contrast between what's called good and evil. Good and evil means positive path, negative path, means the way of love, freedom, harmlessness, honesty, and truth, which is of divine morality. Obviously, no one religion has a possession on morality. Morality was presented by Confucius with the Golden Rule 500 years before Yeshua, presented about the same time by Gautama in the teachings on Sila, the virtue, moral conduct, ethical conduct as number one basis of meditative development of mind and insight and awakening and release and freedom. Same as Hinduism, Vedanta, teachings of Yama Niyama. All of this, or these three systems, Confucius and Gautama and Vedanta, preceded Yeshua by hundreds of years, or if not thousands in the case of Vedanta. And so morality, which really means application of golden rule, like Confucius said, non-harm, harmlessness, ahimsa, like Gandhi said, is a teaching, a universal core, a human core teaching, a core principle of human spiritual teaching, which is a core principle of an understanding of how to live life well for self and other. And this issue of moral decision, should I, shouldn't I, what is right and wrong, what is positive, negative, what is virtue, vice, what is harmlessness, what is right action, right speech, versus that which is opposite, is the heart of the Armageddon at the present time, to the individual, to the collective, in all ways. And you can see that in certain dystopic or future vision TV series that I refer to often, like Jericho, Revolution, and Colony. Endless moral testing of the individuals in a very difficult situation. And that's the heart of Armageddon, I think, is the moral testing of the individual in terms of the seeking to do what's right versus that which creates more harm. It may create short-term gain for the individual or even somewhat long-term, but if one is not on the positive path essentially, at base of beingness, as Ra would say, one causes oneself harm by short-term gain that is at the expense of other, and yet it's very hard to know what's right action in many cases. And so, and then Apocalypse is the revealing and the uncovering of much that had been hidden. For those with eyes to see, more and more we can see. And so 2020 is sort of a gut punch to humanity. This is, in my view, my humble opinion, just from my limited perspective. A gut punch to humanity, a pulling out the rug from under humanity. People argue about, is it real, is it hoax? I'm not going to get into that. I think you probably know where I'm coming from without having to spell it out. And there is... you know, limited freedom of speech on certain platforms, as we know, as you should. Bookmark, if you like, bookmark the podcast pages, the archive.org page. I may open a library, LBRY page in the future that is supposedly uncensored. And please keep in mind the alternative platforms, because... the internet may go down, or then nothing will be available, but certain platforms may become tighter and tighter in the future. Clearly, I think we see a reduction of free speech top-down. Looks like tyranny to me, with whatever justification. This is very much in line with the discussion I had before on the word tribulation, coming from the Greek... eclipsis, and I want to revisit that. And there's another word called stenochoria that often is translated or is often presented in the New Testament along with the Greek word eclipsis. Eclipsis, tribulation, affliction, this is what we're going through now. And so from blueletterbible.org, a blue letter presentation, whatever that means, of etymological considerations in reading the Bible, New Testament, I guess, and Old as well, looking at Greek, particularly Greek translations, or Greek words translated to English. From Blue Letter Bible, King James Translation Count 45, King James Version, this is down the page a bit, KJV, King James Version, translates Strong, somebody, Mr. Strong's, G2347, which is the code of the Greek, it's the Greek, G means Greek, I think. 2347 is the number given by Mr. Strong in his comprehensive presentation of Greek, and I guess maybe Hebrew words in the Bible. Translates this Strong's G2347, which numerically, by the way, goes 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 7 as a 16, which is a 7. And the 7, like the 7 seals, like the 7 chakras, like the 7 rays, like the colors of the rainbow, like the frequencies, the color, the distorted frequencies of white light, the entirety of the color spectrum, according to chakra theory, in relation to the rainbow, in relation to seven rays metaphysics, is the full panoply of what's in play with this tribulation. So it's kind of fitting that the Strong's number assigned to the word eclipsis as 234G, 2347, comes out numerologically as a seven, because it's the entirety of the seven-ray output or the seven-ray energy nodal point basis of the apparent sense of self, or our sense of self, or our self experiencing this tribulation at the present time. There's no stone left unturned, or no aspect of our being that is untouched by the present tribulation. And tribulation also translates, or eclipsis translates also as affliction, trouble, anguish, persecution, burden, and to be afflicted. A pressing together, pressure. And therefore comes out metaphorically, oppression, affliction, tribulation, distress, and straits. Straits meaning a narrowing. What happens with a pressuring is a narrowing. What's narrowed? That which is receiving the pressuring. We are receiving the pressuring physically, emotionally, mentally, societally, financially, spiritually, metaphysically, energetically, meaning non-physically as well as physically, metaphysically as well as materially, in all ways. And this is it. This is what Armageddon and or apocalypse at Armageddon at the end of the 3D cycle looks like. This is it. You can say it's a war of leadership upon humanity. You can say it's Orion's last stand in the solar system. You can say it's the return of the Martians. You can say it's Mars attacks. I can say that it has elements of 1984, elements of Equilibrium, the movie, elements of Brave New World. We see it shown in the outcome depictions in the TV series Colony, Revolution, and Jericho to some degree. A great tribulation, or a great delusion, or deception. Clearly, this is of major moral testing, and I think we're not just looking, obviously, at 2020. We're looking at the next decade, and people who, who've talked to me directly. Know that I've looked into Deagle 2025 forecast, deagle.com, DEAGEL.com forecast of 2025, which I think is quite accurate. It shows sort of a Western civilizational implosion, not the Georgia Guidestones 90% or 85 or what, 85, 90% population reduction, but something midway to that, but it's selective. And there seems to be a reasonable karmic basis to it, no matter who it was that put it together. We're not just looking at 2020, we're looking at the beginning of a new phase of civilization. And some people will become hopeless, some people are deeply hopeful. Some people will say, this too shall pass, and on the other side, all will be well. Depends on what you mean by the other side. And depends on what you mean by all will be well. Clear thinking is really important now, if you wish to know. If we wish to know well, we better think clearly, which means we better be able to be still and see and consider and determine tentatively and combine, meaning I think this relates to that, and hold provisionally and not assume that my current view is final, because it's not. We are works in progress. View and understanding is a work in progress. Making peace and coming to balance is a work in progress, or a work that never ends, actually. And so it affects the full seven ray system, from the lower through the middle to the higher body, mind, spirit, or personality. Material personal life and mind, the heart of mind, or green blue, and spirit, which is a deep sensitivity. And we really have to we have to go above to heal the lower, or bring qualities of green, blue, indigo into the conditions of distress and affliction and pain and feeling overburdened and feeling overpressured. The only way out is up, but up doesn't mean away, doesn't mean rejecting the reality of our experience in any way. And so let me read a little bit more from a second page. This is an interesting website called Precept Austin, A-U-S-T-I-N. I guess it's a seminary or a church from Austin, Texas. And, you know, some of what they say is what I would, what looks like Christian dogmatism. Every religion has its dogmatic view. Chinese Buddhists will tell you they'll fight to the death, like saying that Gautama was a vegetarian and died by eating a bad mushroom rather than some old pork. And Theravadins will say they're wrong, and Mahayanists will say you're wrong. So there's dogmatism all over the place. Meanwhile, there's truth all over the place. If you have a taste for truth, you'll find that there's truth all over the place. Everything sings God's name. All phenomena sings God's name or sings the divine. And truth is apparent. I mean, I think Confucius said, from the good man, from the bad man, both of them I can learn from. I can learn from both of them. And I think there's a Taoist saying something like, you only make people into liars by not believing them. A liar is truthfully expressing the fact that he's a liar. He's honestly expressing the reality of being a liar. It's simply important to realize that they're lies or deception, but it's truth. It's honestly presented. They're honestly lying, honest in the sense that truly, and it can be known. And also one can understand basis of that. So in any case, there's it's very important to have a taste for the good and the true and the beautiful, green, blue, indigo. The good and the true and the beautiful is everywhere, is everywhere. And only those with eyes to see or ears to hear or a heart to feel sufficiently activated, opened, and clear, available, can see and feel and hear, see and hear and feel and know that there is good and true and beautiful all over the place. In fact, you know, it's very possible to realize that it all is, even the ugly, is good and true and beautiful in some sense, without fooling oneself, without avoiding pain. So from this Precept Austin, some other comments on this Greek word study of eclipses. Eclipses from Tlibo, top of the page, and he uses that shows the Strong's number 2347, to crush, and these are synonyms and definitions that may resonate with your personal experience in the last year or at present. Clipsis, from clibo, to crush, press together, squash, hem in, compress, squeeze in turn, and derived from another word, plow, meaning to break. Originally expressed sheer physical pressure on a man, on a person. Eclipses is a strong term which does not refer to minor inconveniences but to real hardships. So this is a time of real hardship. As we know, a lot of people have lost their job permanently. A lot of people are in depression. Suicide rates are higher. Relational conflict is higher. Depression, discouragement is greater. All sorts of indicators of unwellness are pegging, or I don't know if they're pegging, but they're certainly higher than ever before. And I don't think there's going to be any quick fix to the domestic situation of multiple nations, certainly for the U.S., no matter who is appointed president in the end, and multiple Western nations. And you know, as they say repeatedly, yeah, they want a great reset, and that's what they're making by hook and crook. by force and pressuring. Medically, Thlipsis was, this is going, continuing from the read of Precept Austin, medically, Thlipsis was used of the pulse, pressure. And so there's a pulsing in this pressure, and there will be phases of tightening, loosening, obviously. We see that with lockdowns and loosenings. And therefore, we will experience cycles of feeling intensely pressured or put upon, and then phases where that goes away. And we may hope to return to normal, though I don't think that's really possible anymore. We're looking at the next decade. We're looking at the next 5 years, and even if or when evil burns itself out, who will be left on the other side? How many will be left on the other side? What will civilization look like on the other side? What will each nation look like on the other side? It depends. Depends on the nation. Depends on countless factors that I don't fully understand. And that's another matter of pressuring or the current tribulation, is that we cannot fully understand it. We can understand some. If we keep studying, we'll understand more. But don't presume to have full understanding. You know, only God is omniscient, or only those beings above, at higher self and above, are nearby omniscience. And so we have to make peace with perpetual limited knowing of what feels to be critical matters in the environment and of the future and of my own fate. And we should expect more moral testing as well, which is meaning decisions. Important critical decisions. Should I go along with what's being demanded or not? Am I willing to pay the cost for rejecting what's being demanded or not? Am I willing to lose my job for it? Am I willing to make these various choices that will bring more hardship to resist or not consent and go our own way and reject? Am I willing to, for me, I think, okay, well, if they require vaccine, you know, regular vaccination, updating, scheduling perpetually to be on an airplane, I'll never be on an airplane again in this life. Okay, I can handle that. Can we come back to balance in the face of continuing persecution, oppression, affliction, real hardships? Many, many choices will have to be made. And so, but there is a pulsing. It does happen in cycles. And it is sort of inevitable, given the mix of consciousness on the planet as well, obviously. Unfortunately, it is cosmically, karmically just, whether it's understood as God's will, or under God's design, or under the watchful eyes of the Logos. Sounds like God to me. Same. The Logos, as Ra depicts or describes, is not much different than a Christian conception of God, but certainly as a supreme creator of light, of dimensionality, of time and space, of all phenomena that is of light, that appears to arise, persist, and pass away in the octave, in the dimensionalities. All that is a display of light. All that was created, from timelessness. Time and space came out of timeless, non-spatial reality, which Ra calls intelligent infinity. That's not a bad description for God. Meanwhile, there's also the law. There are also the laws of consequentiality, causality, the law of karma, law of attraction. Seeds generate fruit, causes generate result. Nothing is really accidental, it seems to me. Although commonly we have very limited understanding of karma, Gautama calling karma one of the incomprehensibles, or the imponderables. You can ponder and consider, but ultimately you won't know till you get there, meaning till you're outside time and space, particularly in sixth density and up. And so what's happening now is very much, I've talked about this in the essay Human Crisis and Divine Plan years ago. You've got three major consciousness groups, just as Ra said, and I think is clearly observable. Those that are committed to virtue, those that are committed to vice, and those that are on the fence or haven't started. And that's what we see in the response to the current ellipsis. Some people cheer it on and want to profit by it and are happy to screw people and get gain based on others' loss. That's called selfish. That's called service to self. That's a negative path. And that's not more than 10 or 20% here. Maybe not even 10%, or not 20, but it's certainly all over the place. In every nation, it seems there are people who are very willing to lie for money, to deceive and limit and harm others for money and gain and power and position and ambition and their own little acquisition. That's pretty sick, actually, and of course it comes from lower triad blockage. And negative path can be called the path of pathology. Path of separation, service to self, is a path of continuing lower triad blockage, heart chakra blockage, pathology, psychopathology, sociopathology, of course. But they have a right to it. And there's an interesting discussion down this page, which includes comments on ellipsis from multiple Christian writers and speakers through the centuries. Very nice. I think it was Martin Luther, the original, said, quote, "Whatever virtues tribulation finds us in, it develops more fully." Now this is misattribution, as if the outer catalyst fashions experience. No, our response to catalyst fashions experience. Self heals the self. No one heals another. No one does spiritual growth of another. So it's not that, I'll read the whole thing. You know, I can't restrain myself sometimes. So I'll read it and then critique and agree and disagree. Now, Martin Luther wrote that, quote, "Whatever virtues tribulation finds us in, it develops more fully. If anyone is carnal, weak, blind, wicked, irascible, haughty, and so forth, tribulation will make him more carnal, weak, blind, wicked, and irritable. On the other hand, if one is spiritual, strong, wise, pious, gentle, and humble, he will become more spiritual, powerful, wise, pious, gentle, and humble." This is completely in line with Ross saying that in the short run, we will see increased polarization of individuals and groups on both of the two paths, positive, negative. Those that are centered in love, wisdom, harmlessness, kindness, and want the best for all. Those that are committed to service to all, love, wisdom, win-win. And those who are committed to win-lose, or winning by forcing others' loss, taking what Buddhism calls wrong speech, wrong action, wrong livelihood. They too will increase individuals and groups in their wicked negative activities. They'll improve their deceptive skills and their manipulative skills as much as they can. And they will gain power and pride and vanity and carnality, weakness, blindness, wickedness, and irritability, just like he said. So that's what we see. It's just that the tribulation doesn't do it. It's our response to it that that leads us to do it to ourselves, meaning we polarize positive, we polarize negative. The self runs the show, not phenomena and catalyst. And so, like was asked me, it's the transit from, I guess what, the Empress to the Emperor, or at least cards 3 to 4 in Tarot, major arcana, archetypes of catalyst of mind, experience of mind. It's the fashioning of experience from catalyst that is the basis of what is developed more fully. So qualities of virtue, qualities of vice, polarization, positive and negative, obviously is developed by us more fully in how we handle things. But there's going to be more of this intensive catalyst coming, obviously. And other translations of Glypsis, anguish, distress, being in great trouble, persecution, which is harassment in a manner designed to injure, grieve, and afflict. Yes, yes, there are sadists in this world. Recently I had the thought process about the Logos establishing the veil in mind between conscious subconscious in 3D space-time, right? We know about Logoic evolution, the Logos of earlier, so-called earlier octaves, not earlier octaves, or earlier solar systems associated with this octave, but in other locations in the galaxies, came upon the idea that we need to put this veil, or thicken the veil, to basically bring further down the law of free will into the experience of third density physical, thickening the curtain, or making a curtain, or thickening the curtain between conscious-subconscious, which already existed. There was already subconscious and conscious-mind distinction before a veil, but that was thickened or established, and thus was born the potential for the negative path. Before that, there were no two paths. There was just the one way, the great Tao, or the way, the Tao of soul evolution, which was develop in harmony with the reality that everyone could see. But what was happening was that souls were not developing because reality was so beautiful. All is one, all is love, all is light, all is... And they felt great joy in that love, light, unity, boundless unity, that they didn't make effort to evolve. Like in Judgment City, in Judgment City, in Defending Your Life, which I watched again, it's always 74 degrees, and so the banner, the streaming banner of the news on the TV, it said weather, 74 degrees, perfectly clear and warm. And that's the only weather that ever came out there. So before the veil, it was love and light, God, logoic unity, and the happiness and bliss of knowing and feeling, seeing that clearly was available for all, and they didn't make great effort. Then these logoi established this veil in mind, and then we're born the law of free will. Rightfully got its name, called the love of confusion, as Ra calls it. The synonym for the law of free will being the law of confusion from the raw material was thus born, I'd say. And I wondered, hey man, are you a sado? Are you a masochist? Are you a sadist? Do you like to cause pain to the logos? Well, it's only you here, so you must be a sadomasochist. Or are you an experienced junkie? Are you an addict for something? And then I realized, well, you know what? It's only the middle. It's only the middle of the middle where this kind of drama of negativity exists. The middle of the middle. Densities 3, 4, 5 in this octave. Presumably not in the prior octave, and clearly not in the next octave. I don't think that Gautama and the beings, the guardians in 8th density and Nityananda, that they have to deal with serves to self activity in their octave. I don't think that from their moksha they come back into dukkha. I don't think there's any more dukkha after the moksha, after their nibbana that leads them or lands them in 8th density. Likewise in the prior octave. And so if we talk about the three octaves, the prior, this, and the next, it's only in the middle three densities, 3rd, 4th, 5th, that we find service to self. It's the middle of the middle, the toxic middle of the middle. Meanwhile, you can say it's not toxic. You can say it's all the one experience. Sure. There's just a lot of pain here, though, too. There's a lot of dukkha, obviously, and we feel a lot now and then or regularly. And I wouldn't spiritually bypass it away as complete and whole and perfect, the awareness of higher self. Certainly Ra and the other Six Density Confederation groups have made a lot of interventions that led to grievous results, as recently as Tesla. And would they do it again? I don't think so, because they don't. And so even Six Density has a problem dealing with 3, 4, 5, or third. 4, 5 is not a problem, really. Everything's quite clear. It's really third density in this octave where the great confusion rests. And this is the planet for dimensional confusion or collective social complex, social grouping, collective confusion, distress, and dukkha. This is the center place of dukkha in the galaxy, I would imagine. The dukkha of vast disorientation, meaning people really don't even know why they're alive. They don't even quite know what it means to be alive. They don't even know the difference between mind and brain. They don't really know what soul is. Even the religionists, East-West, commonly talk about it but don't know it. What is Atman? Well, you can talk about it, but do you know it? Have you experienced it? One can. And those that don't haven't sought it truly enough, deeply enough. And so this is a particularly distorted group, Roth saying, can't plumb the depths of the distortions that infect your peoples, the vast sinkhole of indifference. And it's indifference that is the part of the karmic basis for this. 3D repeating, in a way, is based in spiritual apathy too. Apathy to what? Apathy to use catalyst to fashion catalyst or fashion experience carefully from catalyst to bring love light. Open-hearted, seeking to know and understand, requiring acceptance, allowing the development of wisdom, discernment, knowing, to bring that to catalyst, fashioning positively oriented experience or polarization on the positive path or spiritual growth. Souls don't learn because they're not committed to learning enough. They don't learn and grow, and therefore can't do much to help, learn, grow, help. They can't do much helping because they don't do much learning or growing because they're not oriented that way. They're disoriented or materially oriented, living a life of down and out. Focused on out, they stay down. Down what? Down below the diaphragm, down in the lower triad. And that, you know, that's not going to change much in this world. I mean, we really forgot the nature of this collective that we knew, theoretically, before incarnation. For wanderers, this is why we came here. They can't generate adequate love light for themselves. And the negative, as in the first movie, The Arrival, the NASA administrator in drag, in the drag of human form from being an alien, you know, negative entity, said, well, if you can't take care of your planet, none of you deserve to hope to keep it. Something like that. Yeah, that's how the negative sees it. Humanity doesn't deserve freedom because they don't value it sufficiently. There is some truth to that. Use it or lose it. Value it or lose it. And that is, in some ways, the way karmic law operates. Value it, and it grows. Disdain or remain indifferent to it, it falls away. You know? Energy follows thought. Thought is the direction of attention, or thought is associated with direction of attention. Pay attention, see, and consider. That generates a little bit more refined experience from catalyst. And that's the contemplative way of living, or unconsidered life is not worth living. I forgot. I think it's Spinoza. I forgot the name. Something, the unthoughtful, the thoughtless life is not worth living is a paraphrase. And there are a lot of people here that don't want to think. And there are a lot of people here that want to think a little, then stop. And there are others who love ideology. And there are others that love their tribe or their little group of any sort. And feel themselves superior by the weak possession of what ultimately is a very confused ideology. So it's really quite a soup we have here. Other meanings of thlipsis, again, persecution as harassment in a manner designed to injure, grieve, or afflict. Yeah, that's a good definition of persecution, and that's what's going on too. There is intentional harm being inflicted. Harassment designed to, intended to, injure, grieve, afflict. And so, call spades a spade. Meaning, when there is ill intent being detected, consider whether, in fact, that may well be true, because it may well be true. That it's not ridiculous, it's malevolent. Oh, it's so ridiculous, it's so crazy, it's so stupid. No, it's malevolent. In some cases. And one needs to have, like I said, a strong gut and a big heart and a clear mind. So, physically, we do need a strong gut to live through this tribulation and continue to return to balance and continue with the good and the true and the beautiful, despite much ugly and deceptive, false, and confused. You know? Down the page, a little bit, some things I'd like to say. Figuratively, I'm reading from this page further, and I may continue this next week. We'll have to see. This may be the last talk of the year. See what happens over the week. Paragraph down below, figuratively, thlipsis pictures one being crushed by intense pressure, difficult circumstances, suffering, or trouble pressing upon them from without. Persecution, affliction, distress, opposition, or tribulation all press hard on one's soul. They press really hard on body-mind, actually. It doesn't refer to mild discomfort, but great difficulty. And so, outward difficulties and also emotional stress that weighs down a man's spirit like sorrows and burden his heart. Thlipsis then includes the disappointments which can crush the life, quote, crush the life out of one who is afflicted. Yeah. And it's interesting, there's actually... There's a Latin word tribulum related to thlipsis, related to tribulation, right? So tribulation can go back to the Latin or the Greek. It can go back to the Latin tribulum, can go back to the Greek thlipsis. The word Latin word tribulum is literally a thing with teeth that tears. Originally a heavy piece of timber with spikes in it, used for threshing corn or grain. And yeah, this is a great winnowing. This is... The third density space-time prefiguring of the metaphysical harvest, definitely, separating wheat from chaff, from the three-way split, the meek that shall inherit the earth, which are the paus, the well-tamed, trained warhorse, the strong, hardy soul that's also meek, not necessarily meek, but mild, you know? You can be fierce, you know, be fierce when you need to, and be mild when you don't. So this tribulum was drawn over grain, separated wheat from the chaff. And so, trials, he writes, trials purify us and rid us of the chaff. No, we self-purify and put away the immature and the distorted if we can. In the face of tribulation, affliction, persecution, and all this challenge. So it is a great winnowing, absolutely. And it weighs, we will feel weighed down. And much insight yet can come. Like, wow, now I'm learning about humanity in ways I never had before. I see humanity in ways I had never seen before. I see that so many wish to keep their head in the sand, or so many wish to go along with what seems to me to be tyranny, or so many can't think for themselves, or so many are triggered into unending fear and panic. Because what? Because they have a deep sense of vulnerability, and they don't know who to trust, because they don't trust themselves. If you can't trust yourself, you'll probably wrongly trust outwardly other, mistakenly trusting, foolish trust, foolishly trusting, akin to idiot compassion, as Trungpa would say. Most people, if you don't think for yourself, you would commonly wish someone to tell you what to do. Any kind of authority. And that's happening all, we see that all over the place. And what I'm also, what's being revealed to me personally also, is that so many people are really beyond reach. You just can't talk to them. Just like Morpheus said to Neo. They're hopelessly inured to the system. Desensitized. They become desensitized. Their minds have become dull from, obviously, many inputs. And cannot reason. Cannot be reasoned with. Cannot speak with. Cannot be spoken with in any deep level to discuss current events or differences of our opinion. They just don't want it. And that's ultimately, I think, a lot of shame and guilt and low self-esteem and low self-value and low self-worth. Second chakra blockages. It's all over the place. And so we can love them, but we probably can't speak much with them. And that's that. And it's also the Greek word thlipsis. I mean, you know, I'm going to end here, and maybe I'll carry on next week. I think I should. This is a nice kind of free association time. I hope you're enjoying it. If you're not, I hope you leave and don't come back, because you shouldn't be where you don't enjoy or feel value or benefit. You know, if it works, if it's crooked, if it's straight, I help it along. If it's crooked, I leave it alone, said Chongsu, presumably. And so if it works for you, go for it. Great. Stay with it. And if it doesn't, drop it, or consider dropping it, or pausing, and find what works. And that's also part of what's being revealed, is what we need, and what we can't stand, and who we can depend on, and who we can't, and how much we can get clear, and when, where we can't. And so being very realistic is really important. So expect reality. Don't expect your hope or your preference. Expect reality means see clearly the distinction between certain, probable, possible, unsure, probably not, and definitely impossible. The spectrum of likelihood, the spectrum of outcome, of possible outcome. Get clear. And if you're not clear, you'll be confused. We are confused repeatedly. We will... And yet know that we can't get fully clear. There'll be always a lot of stuff that we just can't figure out, and it just keeps coming. To me, it's sort of like a history by PSYOP at this point. Civilization and culture run by PSYOP, psychological operation. It's just endless PSYOP running the news cycles. And gotta be your own best friend. Gotta be your own boss. Gotta be your own teacher. Gotta be your own doctor. There are other people who can help, for sure. But in the end, it all comes down to you. So that'll be where I end for today. I think I will carry on next week, unless I feel unpleasant. But I think I'll carry on the middle of the page. It was sort of actually pretty close to that. It's a huge page here. Discussion of... Clipsis and grapes in a wine press. We're the grapes. The New World Order or the Great Reset or the current events represent the wine pressing or the pressing. Pressing us to make wine. Pressing on us, hopefully, that you'll either die or make wine, trying to make wine. And there is something valuable that can come out, absolutely. It's a massive distillation or catalyst for self-distillation, catalyst for spiritual distillation, distilling the essence of what's needed, the essence of what's important, getting really clear on values, getting really clear on what's important and what's less important and what's useless and trivial, getting real clear This is very possible, and some people will grow greatly in this cycle or in the next decade for as long as this pressing goes on. So anyway, I hope this was helpful. I think we will pick it up next week more. I hope the sound was all right. I wish you a Merry Christmas or whatever holiday you celebrate or none. Late December, I think, is a lovely time, the solstice. And the sun is coming back, yeah, you know, in the darkest, in the middle of the yin is the yang in the Taoist symbol. And so here, approaching the darkest times in winter, or the coolest furthest from the sun, there's a turn. And a return to the solar, or return of the solar. And that's an important matter. So I wish you a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. And I think I'll be here next week. So please take good care of yourselves. See you next time, and good night.